Welcome back to the podcast, Growth and Jams fans. Today I'm sitting down for another solo episode. I hope you enjoy the show. The main thing I want to get across today, or the main thing I want to talk about, is failure. Falling short of goals, having expectations not be met, and using those seemingly destructive moments to turn them into constructive moments and victories down the road. And I will be demonstrating this through two lived experiences. So, the first one. I know this may seem distant given that I'm now out of college, and this was 8 years ago, but it was one of the first times that I had ever seemingly failed in something that I had done. It was the first time that I had really learned about failure or not meeting a goal. And this was my freshman year of high school. I did not make the varsity soccer team as a freshman. And that was something that I was kind of expecting, given that I had, throughout my entire childhood and soccer career, had, I guess, tried out for teams and just made them. Like, it had just been sort of expected of me, or it had been actualized in that way every single time. And for the first time in my life, that didn't happen. And I was really, really upset. And I was later told that the main reason that I didn't make the team as a varsity soccer player was not because of my inadequate level of skills, but because I was too small. Quote unquote. That was the reason. Which, in hindsight, was probably true. I was somewhere in the range of 5 feet to 5 foot 4 as an incoming freshman, sub 100 pounds. So I was tiny. I mean, I didn't hit my growth spurt until sophomore or junior year of high school and wasn't really able to gain weight up until that point in time. I was really scrawny, really skinny, but moving forward, that was really hard for me. I had several friends that made the team as freshmen, and that really made me feel like a failure. It made me feel like I wasn't as good as those people, as good as my friends. And I was really upset with myself, to say the least. This was the first time I'd ever experienced anything like that. And from that point forward, it ignited something in me of like, you no longer are just great, but now you have to work for it. You have to do something outside of what you have done in the past to achieve your goals. So from that point forward, I obviously had a chip on my shoulder. I was really, really bitter about the situation. Really angry with myself about the situation. Not angry with like the coach or with my friends or anything like that, but more so just angry with myself because I didn't do what I needed to do to prove that I deserved to be on that field or on that team as a freshman. But in hindsight, I'm really glad that I was given this experience because it taught me more about myself than any of my successes had up until that point in time. And I think it really changed a lot about how I looked at failure going forward and how I dealt with hard situations going forward after that. So as a result of not making the team as a freshman, I didn't immediately get into the gym, but that did become a big priority for me, was changing what I could control. So I knew I couldn't change or control how tall I would be, but I did change or control that I could be faster or I could be stronger or anything like that. So that's what I did, is I did start working out and start taking that more seriously so that I could no longer be held back by that facet of my life, which was being too small. And beyond this too, I was motivated and in turn honed and sharpened my skills in a way that I had never done before. I was never really, not to say working at it, but this failure allowed me to sharpen my craft in a way that I had never had to before, because I realized I don't have what it takes right now to be out there. So I need to do what it takes so that I can be out there next year and prove people wrong, prove my coach wrong, etc. So it really took failing for me to go outside of my comfort zone, because I had become complacent in I'm a good soccer player. And there were many things that I learned from this, but in hindsight, I'm actually really glad that I was on JV my freshman year. I made a lot of friends that I would have otherwise never been friends with, and I'm friends with a lot of those people still today. Something that I'm also grateful for is my freshman year, I was just having fun out there. I wasn't trying to, you know, compete for my spot on the field in a way that I would have been as a freshman on varsity or riding the bench, so to say. So I'm really glad that I was able to just go out there and have fun with my friends. And we were actually really good, which is great. And I got to play with a lot of my other friends that were freshmen that didn't make the team as well. So I felt like, although that was a really hard experience for me because it was something that I was expecting to do, was make varsity as a freshman, it was actually one of my favorite years playing soccer. Like, it was just like playing pickup games every week. It was so much fun. And just to kind of put into perspective, like I said, coming into high school, I was sub 100 pounds. By the time I graduated, I was like 135, which again, still isn't big. It's really small. I was like 5'10 and 135 pounds when I graduated high school. And that work ethic of getting into the gym and finally being able to put on some sort of mass carried over into college, where that was, again, one of my main priorities. One of my main focuses was getting to where I wanted to be physically so that I could be, you know, confident in myself, not feel small, not be the skinny one out of all the people all the time. And now I'm about 5'11 and 170 pounds. So that's, of course, that's over an 8-year span that I was able to gain upwards of 70 pounds. But I still think it's an incredible feat given that my metabolism is so high. My metabolism was really high when I was playing soccer. And so, again, failing and not making the soccer team as a freshman, the varsity soccer team as a freshman, was devastating to me. But I was able to use this devastating and destructive moment in my life and ignite in it, in myself, a fire that I wanted to be better, to push myself outside of my comfort zone, and to later go on to be a lot better soccer player because of it. Had I been just, you know, given the opportunity to be on varsity my freshman year, I think I would have been much more complacent in my skills, much more complacent in my size, and been like, well, I'm already here, I don't need to do anything else. And because of that, I was able to win out a starting spot on the varsity team as a sophomore and started all 3 years after that. So I think not making the team my freshman year for all those successes later on. And while this, again, seems distant and may not be relevant in any way, I think it shaped how I looked at physical performance in a way that I had never done before. It pushed me outside of my comfort zone. It pushed me to hone and sharpen those skills. And it pushed me to do that for 8 years. I've been doing that now for 8 years. So I think it was a huge, huge critical moment for me in my life. And I'm super thankful that it happened. So to move onward to a more relevant near situation for me and not physical, this would be my journey with the LSAT and with law school admissions up until this point. So for many of you that know me, I decided that I wanted to go to law school after my third semester of college being a chemistry major. And I was like, I'm done with this. I don't want to do pre-med anymore. I hate chemistry. These classes are killing me. I really enjoyed chemistry in high school, but once I got to college, I realized that this isn't something that I could see myself doing long terms as a means to an end. I don't think that I will get the grades that I need to get into medical school because of this major. So I decided to completely switch gears and entertain the idea of going to law school. And when I did that, I decided to fully dive in. So once I made that change, once I made that commitment, it was really about getting my GPA as high as possible and then getting the highest LSAT score as I could possible. For those of you who don't know, I finished out my LSAT journey this past Friday when I got my final score for the fourth time that I took the test. And yes, four times is a lot to take the test. I feel like most people take it once, maybe twice, and they're done with it. But for me, I took it four times, and I still wasn't happy at the end of the fourth time with my score, but I'm happy enough that it justifies being done with the test, as well as taking it five times is kind of ridiculous. So this journey for me started in March of 2019. That's when I took my LSAT class, and that's when I began studying for the LSAT. And 17 months later, I'm finally done with the test. And that's after applying to schools last cycle and getting into several of them, but again, feeling like I had not maximized this initial test score. So that really did have a huge weight on the results that I got. I'm not going to like give direct numbers because I don't think that's necessary, but something that I've known about myself is that I demand perfection of myself, and I don't think that that perfection always is beneficial for me. I think demanding that of myself is sometimes detrimental and results in situations where I'm kind of in right now, where it's like I did incredible and any person would be happy to get the score that I got because it's a high score. I'm still not satisfied because I demand excellence and perfection of myself, and I have a different standard of excellence and perfection. But again, to talk a little bit more about that, I took the LSAT twice for admissions last cycle. And by the second time I took it, I was like, I'm done with this. Like, I'm so sick of taking this test. I'm so sick of studying for this test. I'm so sick of not getting the score that I'm thinking I'm going to get or not expecting to get. So I decided to apply to schools. And as many of you may know, I did not get into my quote unquote dream schools. And looking back on that, that was kind of a huge eye opener for me. It was like a huge reality check for me because again, I was expecting, I got my GPA up as high as I could. I got my LSAT as high as I could, and I thought the results would follow, but that wasn't necessarily the case. And that's not to say that, oh, I only have one dream school, or only one school can potentially be your home or your dream school or whatever it may be. I think anywhere you go, any school that you go to, you can be happy at, and it can help you get to your goals if you utilize it wisely. So I'm not going to knock any school that I got into or say that I didn't go to any school for a particular reason. I just think that it was a huge reality check for me, and it allowed me to reassess my priorities, reassess where I wanted to be in life. And that's why I'm reapplying to schools this cycle. So I took the LSAT two more times after that, after I applied to schools, and I got my score up both times, although I significantly underperformed my practice test range, which is the most frustrating part of it, is every time I took the LSAT, I underperformed what I was scoring on practice tests, which were identical to the tests that I would see on test day, obviously past versions of it, so I would see a new reiteration, but I underperformed it significantly. Like, to put into perspective, I would underperform by 7 or 8 points, which is missing 7 or 8, sometimes more questions, which is super frustrating for obvious reasons, but it's been this process, right? So this obviously is very recent. I just got my score back this last Friday. This will come out on Wednesday, and I'm talking about this, but I think over the course of these couple days, and as I've gone through this 17-month journey now that's finally rounding out, I've been able to make peace with that and realize that, you know, I did all I could. I physically did all I could. I spent a lot of money on taking the test, paying for it myself, my parents paying for a couple of the administrations, and I'm really blessed that they were able to do that for me and that I was able to provide for myself in the situation as well to give myself a better opportunity to score within that practice test range. Ultimately, that didn't end up happening, but I am again at peace knowing that I did do everything I possibly could to perform well, to set myself up in a situation where I could potentially get into my quote-unquote dream schools or potentially get more scholarship at the schools that I got into last cycle. And yeah, this whole process has been four times essentially of not meeting my bar of excellence and not meeting my bar of perfection. So I think with that, it's taught me, because obviously these are four failures, and maybe they're not failures in the eyes of some, but in my eyes, they are failures because I didn't achieve the score that I had hoped for, that I wanted. This has taught me a lot about who I am. This has taught me that, one, my goals have to be more realistic. I have to be more forgiving of myself. I have to be more understanding of my inadequacies and of my shortcomings, such as test-taking anxiety, general anxiety disorder. And I think with that, I've been able to make peace with the things that I've done in my life, the decisions I've made and the outcomes that I've had to this date. So as of Friday, I submitted most of my law school applications, and now the roller coaster of emotions will begin again as I wait for decisions and figure out what schools I got into, which schools I could possibly attend, and which schools will effectively allow me to achieve my goals. And I think I talk about law school in a lot of abstract qualities, abstract reasons, but what I essentially want to do with a legal degree is help people. What I'm doing with this podcast is wanting to help people. And I think my own firsthand experience within the criminal justice system really ignited a fire in me, opened my eyes to a lot of injustices and privileges that certain people within the system are allowed. And that made me want to give back to the people that I saw within the system that were not given those same privileges. So what I want to do with my legal degree is essentially social change, social justice, and criminal defense, criminal justice work. And I really hope to be able to effectively achieve that by going to a great school or going to a school that gives me plenty of opportunities to hone those skills and sharpen those skills so I can be an effective advocate for other people, specifically those who are disenfranchised and marginalized within society, such as racial minorities, those with disabilities, and the list goes on and on, right? There's a lot of people in this world who are underprivileged, who are underserved, and I'm hoping to just do a little bit of good with my life and give back to those people, because I was lucky enough and privileged enough to not be inside that cell for longer than I was. But I am glad that being in that cell for as long as I was a formative experience, changed my outlook on life, and allowed me to no longer be complacent in the social injustices that happen on a daily basis in this country. So just to kind of round out exactly what I was talking about. This failure was one, not getting on into my quote unquote dream school, and two, failing and underperforming my test score and my practice test range on the LSAT 4 times. And through these 2 failures, I have now reassessed my definition of what it means to be successful, because I demanded only perfection of myself. And now I'm sitting in a position where I have incredible opportunities. I've been blessed, and every day is just a gift just to be here. And I'm able to say that I will end up where I'm supposed to end up. I will end up where I'm supposed to end up for a specific reason, and it will be His plan for me. And I will have to trust in that plan, that where I go, I will do good. Where I go, I will effectively achieve my goals. And where I go, I will be happy, and it will be for a much larger reason. So to be put simply, in this law school admissions journey, which has been a lot of rejection that I had never experienced before, a lot of failure and shortcomings that I had never experienced before, it's taught me that I truly just need to let go and let God, as cliche as that is. But that's truly how I feel. I feel like I've done all that I can at this point, and I think schools will see that, and I think schools will appreciate the narrative that I have, appreciate the journey that I've been on, and appreciate all that I've learned and how much I've grown as an individual. I think that in my experiences, I am very unique. And in what I've learned, I think I'm pretty unique as well. And I'm, again, I always say this, but I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes still, and I have a lot to work on still. And I'm going to talk about that in coming episodes as well. Some of the things that I'm working on, some of the things that I'm still struggling with. But I think at this point in time, specifically for physical and intellectual problems that I've had in my life, rejections that I've had in my life, shortcomings that I've had in my life, in those 2 spheres, I've been able to really grow as an individual. And I think that in these 2 experiences that I've shared with you all, I think that you all should be able to, and I hope that through the experiences that I've shared, that you'll be able to reassess your definitions and your expectations of yourself, and to be more forgiving of yourself. I think it took a long time, 17 months exactly, for me and of me grappling with and preparing myself to not meet my expectations, that after 17 months, I'm finally sitting here with my score that I have. And I'm saying, yes, this is the score that I have, but I'm much more than a score on a piece of paper. And I'm defined by much more than an hour and a half in a testing center or in a testing room or on a standardized exam. And so are all of you. You're much more than your GPA. You're more than your career, the amount of money that you end up at the end of your life in your bank account. You're more than all of that. And I think that is what's really important. If there's anything that the last 17 months has taught me, but a lot has gone on in that 17 months in terms of what I thought my life would look like at this point, where I thought I would be at in my life at this point, what society looks like at this point, and this current stage of the pandemic, I think it's really allowed me to grapple with the idea of my own mortality. And what I mean by that is, like I said earlier and I hinted at, every day is truly a gift. And every day, it's all about comparing yourself to the day before. So your yesterday, not anyone else's yesterday, not anyone else's day before, but your own day before. And on Friday, I woke up, I got that test score, and I said, I will not react in a self-destructive manner. And I will take this, you know, somewhat setback, and I will turn it into a later victory in my life. And I think it's going to be a hell of a comeback story. Everyone loves a comeback story, but I think something that I admire about myself and that I think I've created for myself is the opportunity to come back from every failure, every mistake that I've made. And I'm absolutely certain that in every mistake and every failure that you all have, you will be able to come back stronger and sharpened and at peace with who you are and happy that you've had that experience, because it changed you in a positive way. I think to round out this episode, I'd like to keep it short because I could talk about this for days. It gives me a lot of different emotions when I think about it still to this day. All the failures that I've had, I'm still angry about some of them. I'm still mad at myself about some of them. And I'm really hard on myself when it comes to making mistakes. I think I really overthink a lot of my mistakes, and I really beat myself up for years afterwards that they follow me. But I'm learning to forgive myself, and I'm learning to move past that and to make peace with those mistakes, make peace with those decisions, and to make the best of the life that I have. So I leave you with 1, let go and let God, and 2, everything happens for a purpose in our lives, and it's to teach you a very specific thing. And I think that through our failures, through our mistakes. It is where we really, really learn. And I don't think we learn much through our successes. And I don't think we ever leave our comfort zone through success. I think we do it through failure and through mistakes. And lastly, you all, myself included, will end up exactly where we are supposed to be in life for a specific reason and a specific purpose. And it all has a much larger impact than the moment in which it happens. I think we all have the capability for greatness. We are all destined and made for greatness, and we can all achieve greatness if we push ourselves to achieving that greatness, and if we push ourselves outside of our comfort zones and learn from the mistakes and failures that we have experienced in our own lives. I hope listening to these two experiences of my own have started to turn the wheels in your head as to some of the life experiences that you've had, some of the failures that you've encountered, maybe long-term, maybe recent, and how you can now use what I've learned maybe to effectively overcome those failures and mistakes and turn those failures and mistakes into later victories in your life. This was episode 10 of the show. I can't believe we've been doing this for 10 weeks. For those of y'all that are still listening, I really appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll see y'all next week with a guest. Have a great week. See y'all later.